So we're on lesson 15 tonight, and principle 5 is the principle that we're focusing on under lesson 15. And principle 5 says that we voluntarily submit to every change that God wants to make. God is not in the business of forcing us to change. Obviously, if we're a believer, God can chasten us, He can correct us, but He's not in the business of saying you're going to change no matter what. We have to volunteer. We have to say, God, I'm willing to have you change my character defects and for the changes you want to make in my life. And, of course, we need to humbly ask him to remove our character defects as opposed to demanding in a prideful way that God do what we want him to do. And the scripture that goes with this is Matthew 5:6. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. We come to that place where we say, nothing matters to me more than to do what God is asking of me, to allow him to make some of the changes in my life that he's wanted to make, and in some cases, changes I've wanted to make too, but have been unable so far to make in my life. Step 6 comes from the anonymous programs, and it correlates with Principle 5 from Celebrate Recovery, and it says, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So the originators of the anonymous programs were working through together through some of these things, and they wrote this to say, when they got to this point, they were entirely ready. Entirely ready. There's ready, and then there's ready, right? Entirely ready. They were really, really, really ready to have God do something in their lives to help them remove these defects of character. And James 4:10 reminds us that we humble ourselves before the Lord, that he will lift us up. So we come to him humbly tonight. Step 7 says, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So in step 6, we were ready and willing. In step 7, we asked him, okay, now that I'm willing and ready, can you do this? And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if we put ourselves at God's disposal, if we dig out the stuff from the past or the things that are going on currently with us, we lay them before the Lord, this verse guarantees that God is going to forgive us if we are genuinely bringing those things to him. So the question for tonight is, how can I have victory over our defects of character? That is a huge question. Last week was a bit of bad news. We have character defects. They're ingrained in us. And okay, so now what? We talked a lot about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we talked a lot about becoming ready, becoming willing. Are we ready? The million-dollar question. Are we ready to have God do this work? The acrostic for tonight is victory. And in the V part of victory, we're talking about voluntarily submitting to the changes. In I, we're talking about identifying what those character defects are. What is it that we're asking God to do? We need to identify them. We need to be specific. In C, we're changing our mind about the area that we've been struggling. We need a mindset change. T is for turning over those defects, just kind of bringing them to the foot of the cross. And then O is just reminding us that these things happen one day at a time. It's not something that is a quick fix. And so every day is a day where we give our character defects over to God. R kind of goes along with that, and the fact that recovery is a process. It's not a one-time event. And then the Y stands for the fact that you must change, you must choose to allow God to change you. So we'll start with the V and work our way through. V, voluntarily submit. Romans 12:1-2 says it this way. Read this with me. Ready? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Okay, so in this verse, we're presenting ourselves. We're presenting ourselves not as a sacrifice that's going to be lit on fire and die, but it's a living sacrifice. I'm placing myself on the altar, basically, and saying, God, I've tried to make these changes. I've tried to do these things. I'm done trying. Let me come to where you are on your terms, and I'm sacrificing myself and saying, God, what can you do in this situation? And in that situation, God always provides. And this is our spiritual act of worship. This is our response to the mercies of God. Every morning, God's mercies are new. Every day we get up and we spit in God's face in one way or another. We sin, and sin is abhorrent in God's sight. But our spiritual act of worship is continually coming back to the place where we place our souls back on the altar. The problem with the living sacrifice, obviously, is it can get off the altar. And we get back on the altar, and we get off, and we get back on, and we get off, and we get back on. It's a terrible cycle. But the scripture says here that when we do this, we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we place ourselves on that altar, God will work on us. He will begin to change the way that we're thinking and renew our minds about that particular circumstance. We want to review where we've been, especially for those who haven't been here perhaps in a few weeks. Just a quick review. Number one is that you've made the most important decision of your life, and that is to turn your life over to God's will. We sometimes call this an enlightenment, salvation, coming to the cross, becoming saved, whatever you want to call it, moment of clarity. Number two is we made a decision. This decision made us right with God. Before, we were kind of doing our own thing, going down our own path. Salvation, this moment of enlightenment, we realize there's a God, realize that he has the power to help us, and we give ourselves to him. We get in a right standing with God. Number three, we have accepted and decided to follow Jesus Christ, God's Son, as our Lord and Savior. So we realize that this isn't just a fire escape from hell. This isn't just something like this path is a little better than the path that I was going on before. We're really talking about the difference between light and darkness, the difference between death if we follow our own route and life if we follow God's. And so we have decided that this isn't a one-time thing. We're going to follow Jesus. And that starts with salvation, but then it ends up in discipleship where we say, I'm going to continue to follow Jesus every day. That thing that I did, 20 years ago when I was a kid, I still want that. And so I'm following Jesus. Four, you began to work on you. Five, the way that happened was you began to examine yourself and identify whatever the hurts, the hang-ups, and the habits were. You started seriously looking at these things. Some of you spent some time here on one night just writing down some of these hurtful things from the past. We gave you some time to do that. And then number six, you confessed your sins to God and to another person. As you examine your hurts, hang-ups, and habits, you realize that not all of it was someone else's fault. Some of it was your fault, and some of the things, the responses you had to the people hurting you wasn't a right response. And so we have written some of those things down and confessed them to God. So that's our progress. And what we've done in our progress is we have removed the muddy glasses of denial. Once we wipe those glasses off, now we can begin to see things more clearly. We have a clear and a clean focus on what it is God wants for us. We have our vision renewed. And so the million-dollar question from the last session that we had in Lesson 14, it was a $64,000 question or something, but I upgraded it because all the game shows have $1 million right now. Who wants to be a millionaire and all that? So the million-dollar question is, are you ready for character defects to be removed? And most of us would answer that million-dollar question with, of course I am. I'm ready to have God change who I am. As simple as it looks in the picture of just tossing your defects like a basketball, it doesn't work that way because the basketball bounces back to you once you try to shoot it. So how do I get rid of all my hurts, hang-ups, and habits? Is this a trick question? How do I get rid of all my hurts, hang-ups, and habits? It is a trick question, and I'll tell you why. The good news is you don't get rid of your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Step six doesn't read, you were entirely ready to have you remove all defects of character. No, what it says is you were entirely ready to have God remove all your defects of character. So you see the difference there between if I'm trying to remove them, and God's trying to remove them, who do you think does a better job? How do you begin the process to have God make the positive changes in your life that you and he both desire? And that's what we have to remember, is God isn't in the business of saying, okay, we want to change, and now he's going to make it really, really hard for us to change. certainly there's work involved in change, but God wants us to be more like his son more than we want to be like his son. So he's invested in this. The next letter, I, in the acrostic, has to do with identifying character defects. We need to, some of us have a lot of character defects. Some of us don't know that we have a lot of character defects, but we do. And so we have to go, one of the ways is going back to our inventory. For those of us who have done inventories, we can go back to those inventories and on, and if you haven't seen an inventory, they're on the back table. You can grab one as five columns. And when you get to the last column, that's the column where you write some of your responses that weren't very good in situations that you're writing about. And so as we go back to those inventories, as I go back to mine, I can see bitterness against my parents, bitterness against employers, bitterness against money-hungry people that I've run into my life, bitterness against evildoers, people who just did rotten things that I witnessed growing up. And so as I see those in my inventory, I have to say, okay, are these the things that God wants to work on in my life? Are these the things I want to work on first? Like, I can try to identify the ones that I think need to be worked on first. But obviously in prayer, God can also reveal those things to me and help me prioritize what it is I need to start with. All of us fall down. Falling down doesn't make you a failure. It's when we stay down. Someone sent me an email last week and they were really discouraged about where they are right now in their Christian life. And you know what? I sent them some passages from the Apostle Paul who said that he struggled. And if you read the Apostle Paul, he's like super, you know, it's like Superman or something. As I read him, like, how did he write this stuff? Like, I don't understand how he wrote these things. But as well as he wrote about Christ and explained to us that, you know, looking back on the Gospels, Paul kind of fills in the blanks that we have from the Gospels, and it's amazing. As amazing as he was, and as much as God poured his spirit into him, Paul was a human, and Paul made mistakes, and he says, you know, that he struggled with sin. And so the scripture says a just man falls down seven times and rises up again. The difference between me, the difference between you and the person that may not be in this room is that you have the Holy Spirit in you. If you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit is going to convict you, and you're going to get up again. You're not going to say, oh, this is great, I'm going to stay here in my sin forever. No, you're going to get up. It's good to admit when you're wrong, but it's even better to make it right. And how many times have we admitted that we're wrong, maybe even admitted to someone else we're wrong, but did we really have the motivation to change? Or were we just saying, yeah, I was wrong and I wanted to be right, but we didn't quite have the traction. God forgives us over and over and over. And he delights in forgiving us. Like the father who forgives his son who spit in his face, took an early inheritance, wasted the inheritance, and comes back. The father greets him with open arms. But more than forgiving us, God wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to make us more like him. And that's his focus with us. So we ask God to first remove those character defects that are causing the most pain. So let's look at the areas in our lives right now that are producing the most pain that has to do with us and our responses to other people. And we can start there. We need to be specific. For me, complaining about details of how things have gone in the past, and I'm not talking about 10 years ago, I'm talking about a month ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I can obsess about the details and obsess about all the ways in which I should have made decisions differently, or this person should have not done this, and this person should have done this. This is one of the things that I would say is an identification of a character defect for me. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, read this with me. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Okay, so I'm going to say, Lord, I have a plan here. I have a plan for you to remove this character defect. But it's the Lord who's going to determine what my steps are moving forward in dealing with that. And so I identify them, but I submit myself to the Spirit to see what the Spirit wants to do in that area. The C in victory, as we move through V-I-C, is about changing your mind. When we become Christians, we become new creatures. There's a fresh start. We are born again. We're born of the Spirit. And we become a new person inside. The old nature is gone. We're a new person now, but we still have the sinful flesh. And we still have the way that the old nature used to operate. We're kind of used to that. So there's this battle that happens between the flesh and the Spirit, the flesh and the Spirit. But we have a new nature. And that's what God sees when he sees us, is that new nature. And that's what we want to focus on nurturing. Your responsibility is to take the action to follow God's direction for change. He reveals what the changes are, our responsibility to step up to those. The way that God transforms us or changes us is by this renewing process, and it's a renewing of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed. It's like installing new software on the computer that's having difficulties. And God wants to do that renewing process. He wants to change the way that we think. We can try to change our behaviors. We can try to stop drinking if that's a problem for us. We can try to stop smoking. We can try to stop using people to gain happiness in life. We can try to stop abusing the way that we deal with food. There's an endless list of behaviors that those of us in this room would exhibit, and we can try to stop doing those things. And that would be like going out in the parking lot where we have some gravel out there and taking a weed whacker or a lawnmower to those weeds. Next week when we come back, the weeds are going to be as high as probably they were this week. They're going to keep coming back as long as we weed whack them and mow them. But if we go out there and we rip them from the roots, they're not going to come back. And so that's what we're talking about here. The weeds need to be pulled up by the roots, and our character defects are the same way. And God does that by transforming our minds. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. God's will is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And that's our goal, is to be in the will of God. So God wants to transform our minds. We have to let him do that. The question is, how do we do that? And the way that we do that is the T in victory, which talks about turning over those character defects. Many of us have tried to use our own willpower. Have you ever gritted your teeth and said, I'm going to make this thing go away? I'm going to stop doing X. I think all of us have at some point in our lives. But our self-will at that point has actually blocked our recovery, because we have now become confident in ourselves that we can lick this thing. Our past efforts to change our hurts, hang-ups, and habits by ourselves have been unsuccessful. And one of the ways that we know that is that we're here tonight, right? We recognize at some level that the way we have been doing it hasn't worked very well for us, and we need a better way. And that better way is James 4:10. Read this with me. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay? So we're talking about humbling ourselves before God. The illustration I used for this months ago was my Dodge Neon. Now, compared to your vehicle, the Dodge Neon isn't very powerful. But you put that Dodge Neon on ice, I can press all I want on the gas, and I can rev that engine. And that engine that might take the Neon 80, 90, 100 miles an hour or more, normally is not going to go anywhere on that ice. And I know, because I tried it. Like, in my own driveway, I ran into a snowbank and got stuck there. And here's the illustration, is that no matter how hard I pressed the gas, no matter how hard I tried in my own self-will to get that Neon off of the ice, I couldn't do it. So in and of myself, in and of the Neon, there was power there. But on that particular day, it wasn't enough power to get me off the ice. Now, what I'm talking about is the power of God is the power of this van that I have. And the van is much bigger and stronger than the Neon. All I had to do was place the van on the bumper of the Neon, and just the sheer weight of that van letting off the brake pushed the Neon off the ice. And that's the illustration for what God can do in our lives. Do you have power? Sure you do. Knock yourself out. Try to get yourself off the ice. Go for it all night. You're still going to be there until you bald your tires or whatever. When you humble yourself before God, He will lift you up. He'll get you out of that jam. So being humble doesn't mean you are weak. What it means is that you begin to see yourself as God sees you. That's what we talk about self-esteem. We should talk about accurate self-esteem. Okay? How does God see me? That's how I want to see myself. And so in being humble, I'm not saying I'm weak. I have power. I can try all I want to get rid of these character defects. But when I see myself as I am, someone who without God's power cannot get past these things. So I can't recover until I turn over my character defects to Jesus. And this is where that phrase comes from. Let go and let God. Okay? Eventually I had to realize I'm going to be out here. It was after a Celebrate Recovery meeting that I got my car stuck. I'm going to be out here all night trying to get this car out if I don't go inside and get my wife and bring the van around and have her push me out. So I let go and let God. The O for victory is one day at a time. Your character defects are not developed overnight, and so we can't expect them to be removed overnight. We have been living the way we've been living. You know, in my case, 38 years of building up character defects. Am I going to get rid of them in 38 minutes or even 38 hours? 38 weeks, maybe? Recovery happens one day at a time. And so it's this continual thing, okay? If you have a flywheel or if you have a millstone, you know, we live here around Wayside, this Wayside grist mill that's down the road here. And there's a huge mill wheel. And when you start to push that thing, it's like you're not really getting anywhere. You know, and those first few pushes, you know, just don't seem like you're getting anywhere with it. But as you keep pushing and you keep pushing and you keep pushing, eventually you're going to get the momentum of that wheel going, and it's going to become easier and easier and easier. And that's what Jesus said in a verse that we'll get to a little bit later. But it's one day at a time. Okay? I keep pushing on that wheel, and I keep pushing on that wheel. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So today, what is it that I need to do today in my recovery? One day at a time. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly God spoke. My name is I Am. I waited. God continued. When you live in the past, with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in the moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I am. Jesus said, here's the verse I was talking about earlier. Read this one with me. Ready? Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? The easy yoke, the burden being light, once that flywheel gets going, once you tap into God's power, it becomes easier and easier. And the best illustration for this is two, a team of oxen. And they're both, you know, you have these two ox, and they're both, you know, strapped into there. And one is always stronger than the other one. One is always more experienced than the other one. And so I'm yoked up with Jesus, and I'm following His lead. And He's stronger than I am, and He's more experienced than I am, so I'm letting Him lead the way. Am I pushing on the yoke? Yes, I am. But I'm relying on the power that God has through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. The R is that recovery is a process. Once you ask God to remove your character defects, you begin a journey. And that journey will lead to new freedom from your past. and it begins this process. So we want to live in the present. We want to be patient with ourselves. We don't want to get discouraged when change doesn't happen as fast as we would like it to. We're not looking for perfection. Okay, someone asked me last week, is like, are we supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be like Jesus, but we can never quite get there in this life. Is that right? You know, we will be like him when we get to heaven, but we're not now. And that's true. We're not looking for perfection. We are looking for perfection, but that's in the next life. And so we're going to rejoice in steady progress. A slow and steady wins the race. Philippians 1:6. Read this one with me. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is the process. God started the process in you. You didn't necessarily start it. God started it. You responded to that start. And it's a process of you and God carrying that work through to completion, if you let him. The last letter is why you must choose to change. If we want to keep our self-reliance first, then true reliance on Jesus Christ is impossible. If I'm trying to lead in the yoke, Jesus is going to let me lead in the yoke. He's going to let me get marks on my shoulders. He's going to let me burn out my legs, okay? Because he wants to lead, and he's going to wait until I'm ready to let him lead. So I must voluntarily submit to every change that God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. God's waiting to turn my weaknesses into strengths so that I can help other people. And all I need to do is ask him to do that. James 4, 6 through 8, read this with me. But he gives more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Okay, the person who thinks that they can do it, the Scripture is pretty dogmatic here. That God actually opposes those people. He puts things in their path. He's kind of against them, so long as they are proud and trying to do it on their own. But when we submit to him, we submit to God, and in submitting to God, we're resisting the devil, and the devil will flee. We draw near to God, he draws near to us. We draw near to him, he draws near to us. We're choosing the change. Okay, then there's this prayer which says, Dear God, show me your will in working on my shortcomings. Help me not to resist the changes that you have planned for me. I need you to direct my steps. Help me live just for today, not get dragged back into the past or lost in the future. I ask you to give me the power and the wisdom to do the very best I can. Just for today. In Christ's name I pray. God's people said, Amen. Let's say the serenity prayer together. Ready? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.